You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera alongside co-host Jay Gonzalez, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. What a crazy weekend of sports it was over the last couple of days. I'm rethinking my wing sponsorship. I didn't realize you could get wings at certain places. Maybe I need to start asking where to get good wings.
You know, when I'm thinking about where I'm going to get, you know, some good food, maybe some wings, a steak, you know, a nice
chicken
burger.
Chicken fingers.
Whatever, a strip club just does not come to mind.
Yeah, but maybe that's why we're broke. We need to go to those places and say, can you sponsor the show?
Now, if you go to those places, that's how you get broke.
That's how we get broke. Good point.
Oh, God. You know,
that's just the NBA. We'll get to that real quick, and then let's get to the Major League Baseball, which is just, oh, man. It's the reason, and I've been saying this for a few weeks now, at least for two, there's a reason why I don't think there's going to be a college football season. Too many bad things can happen.
You're right, and I think the thing with the Florida Marlins, with, if you haven't heard, you know, there are 14 players, 14 out of what, 30 players got. Yeah, so there's a COVID outbreak on their team.
Sure.
They've had to cancel their game for today, and who knows how long they're going to be canceled, what they're going to do. But I think the thing that we have to keep an eye on now is what happens now.
Right.
Right? I think everybody thought this was going to happen at some point. Now, nobody thought 4 days into the baseball season this was going to happen, but it's happened. So now it's a question of, okay, what now? That's the question. What now? The colleges are going to be keeping an eye on this, and we'll see how they handle this.
NFL is going to be doing the same thing. This is just not surprising to me, though. I've said this in college football, and we're going to have Bert Kanerk and Mike Lude. They'll give us some insight on what they're thinking about the college season. Once this game start, if they do in fact start September 19th or whatever, that a game or two into it, because they'll be grunting, they'll be growling, they'll be spitting, maybe
sweating.
2 weeks in, you're thinking some kids are going to be testing positive. Then what?
Well, again, and that's what we need to find out. What can you do? How do you head this off? What are the Marlins going to do? You know, are they going to go get just a bunch of guys now to fill up the roster so that they can play games, just to play games?
Isn't that why they had like the 60-man, 1,000-man roster, whatever
and
it is?
60-person roster.
Just in case this happens.
Are they just going to, okay, we got to go get 14 guys who haven't been around us to come and play?
Right.
So everybody's watching. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen now? And I think that's really all you can do. The colleges can't sit there and say, oh, God, this is not going to work. They're going to keep an eye on this and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll soon see. We're getting close to the unveiling of some schedules on Friday for the U of A. And we'll get your predictions on Friday. I'm looking forward to that. It just seems like every day is a crazier day.
Well, again, you know, we're delving deep into this, and you know, with baseball starting, the NBA starts on Thursday, the NHL starts next week. It's kind of like, okay, everybody's been trying to figure out how they're going to deal with the pandemic, and now that the games begin, now they start to find out, this is what we have to do if these things happen.
Right, right.
So you just kind of got to roll the ball out there and play and then see what happens. And I think that's what they're doing. Again, what was surprising is that this happened so fast in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, no question. You got to roll the ball out there and hope you have those guardrails, you know, in bowling, that doesn't allow the ball to go into the gutter.
Right.
This would four days into the gutter. And I think it's going to continue to happen. Maybe not in masses like it did today or yesterday, but it'll be coming trickle out every now and again.
You know, and like, for instance, a question I have, are they going to be able to track how that got in there? How that got into their locker room?
Oh, sure, of course,
You know, was there one guy who went out and did something and went somewhere? Because if that's the case, that's preventable. You can fix that.
Right.
But if there's really no telling how this got into their locker room, now that's a much bigger problem.
Well, they're trying to do that with the football, NFL,
right? With everybody.
With the NFL.
The trace, track, trace, and retreat and treat or whatever it is, you know. But if it, they need to find out, okay, who did it? Did somebody go to a restaurant that mm-hmm. they weren't supposed to go to or shouldn't have gone to or didn't take the precautions that they were going that they were supposed to take and then come into the locker room? If somebody did that, that's something that you could potentially fix.
You see all these, I guess the women in WNBA, some NFL players now, some NBA, some baseball players said, I'm not going to do this.
Well,
it's
sure.
not worth it. Now you understand why.
Well, and clearly this whole bubble idea
right.
is working.
Yeah.
Because the NHL and the NBA have done 300 and some tests in the last week or whatever, and zero positive tests. But you see in the NBA, you got guys getting kicked off of the campus. The guy who went to the strip club and got his wings, he's had to go into quarantine. Mm-hmm. He's going to miss the first really 2 weeks of the season. You know, people just have to make good decisions. And if you're not going to make good decisions, as Dave Hickey said
right,
on our
I was
show
just
last
go
week,
there, yes.
we got a bigger problem. We
right.
got a way bigger problem.
Well, you said it before the show started. These are older guys. You'd think they're smarter guys. It's not always.
They're not always.
And now we're dealing with kids who are 18, 19, 20, 21, away from their parents and kind of want to think for themselves.
Right.
And sometimes don't think for themselves.
Right. This guy, Lou Williams, who did this and went to the strip club and got his wings. You know, he was on an approved trip home to go to. He had a death in the family in Atlanta, and then he went to this place that they've got wings that are named after him, and he bought these wings. He got caught there. Somebody took a picture of him. It got out, and now you know he's in a way suspended from his team. And I'm like, dude, you're a grown up. You should have known better. How could you not know better? And now he's put, you know, he's really hurt his team because he's a key player on the
mm-hmm,
team,
mm-hmm.
and he's hurt his team. And it's like, how are we going to expect 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old guys and girls to be smarter than that, to be more mature than that?
Well, one of the things I saw over the weekend, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that some of the educators in town, maybe at ASU too, want bars to be closed just to make sure, cut them off at the pass, if
right.
you will, so the kids won't be going in there.
Right, but you also have those places, you know, they're also businesses. You know, those are people's livelihoods
sure,
at stake.
Sure, sure.
Are we going to shut them down so that Joe Schmo
can't make a decision?
Dummy football player.
Right.
You know, can't make the right decision.
Yeah, what's to say that Circle K doesn't sell 12 packs?
Exactly.
Or
they don't even have to go to a bar. They can go to an arcade. They can go to a mall. They can go to a store.
A house party.
Any one of those things. There's so many things in play here, and people just have to be smarter. And you know what? We're just not.
Mr. Gonzalez, let me tell you something. I think I could say this word on radio, so be ready. We're screwed. We're screwed,
Steve. We could be. You know what? If we're relying on the good judgment of 18 and 19 year olds,
you're never gonna.
We got a problem.
You're never gonna watch any sports.
I think of my judgment at that age.
You're toast. We're not gonna see
you. You know, just today, my friends and I were talking about a really stupid thing that I did.
Oh, don't tell me this because we're running out of time.
Yeah,
make it
that,
quick.
That we did back when I was in you know that age, and I'm like, how did we survive that stuff?
Because your parents didn't find out.
Exactly, they didn't find out, and we got lucky.
Yes, and there had no cameras, no no Facebook,
right, there was no social media,
no Instagram.
Exactly.
Let's take a quick break here. Get a hold of Bert Kanerka and Mike Lude.
Where you bank really does matter. Hughes Federal Credit Union is proud to be recognized by Forbes as one of Arizona's best credit unions 3 years in a row. This national recognition highlights our commitment to high-quality products and services, our customer service, digital services, and financial advice. At Hughes Federal Credit Union, we offer low rates on loans, lower fees, and many free services. Make the switch. Join Hughes today. Visit HughesFCU.org/best. Certain restrictions apply, insured by NCUA.
It's those guys from Tucson Appliance Company, the best appliance company in Tucson.
For the month of July, we're going to donate 2% of our sales to a local charity from in-stock purchases.
Come shop at our store and work with our amazing sales team.
Dustin, David, Brian, Alex, Jermaine, and Peter.
You can choose from a list of local charities for us to donate to.
The only way we can give back is if you shop local.
Only at Tucson Appliance, where our low price is your priority.
There's a place in our house For 70 years, Benjamin Supply has been keeping Tucson flowing. Hygiene is our business. We help you achieve extreme clean. Minimize germ spreading with a hands-free sensor faucet. Forget the paper panic with a washlet seat. And speaking of waterworks, a big thanks to plumbers for their essential efforts during this health crisis. Shop our downtown showroom by appointment. Call us at 777-7000 or see all the products online at BenjaminSupply.com.
Thanks to Benjamin Plumbing Supply.
Camille Rivas Rutherford with Coldwell Banker Realty has been one of the top producing real estate agents in Tucson, Oro Valley, Marana, and Vail for more than 20 years. Let her help you find your dream home in southern Arizona. Her passion and enthusiasm for real estate has helped her become one of the most respected and trusted realtors in the area. And she was recently named a recipient of Coldwell Banker's 2019 International President's Circle Award. Camille's approach to sales and marketing and selling or buying a home is second to none. Give her a call at 520-250-5192.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10-3 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez. And now on the phone, we have a couple of the esteemed guys of Tucson, Bert Kinnerk and Mike Lude. How are you guys?
Good. This is Bert Kinnerk. I'm feeling good.
Steve and Jay, thanks so much for having us on your great show. It's good to talk to two former newspaper guys.
We're the last of it, Mike. Great to have you on the show. I have been talking to Bert, just getting some thoughts from him about how two guys who have a lot to do with college football, how would you make life better for us big fans?
Well, are you going to direct the questions to Bert or to me so that we don't talk over one another?
Well, you can start first, Mike. You're a little bit smarter than Bert.
No, I'm not. Not at all.
Bert, I didn't say that, okay?
But I agree with 100%.
I love Bert. He knows this.
Well, I think I like to start like this. About 4 years ago, I had a conversation when I was at a national meeting with some young athletic directors, and I said to them, you know what? I see a major train wreck coming for intercollegiate athletics, and specifically the Power Five football and Power Five when they decided to get together those conferences and use the world's worst word, autonomy, meaning they can do anything that they want to do, is about to cause this major train wreck. Well, let me tell you, Steve and Jay, and Bert knows this, we talk about it every day. We didn't see that coronavirus was coming down the track and going to be the major train wreck.
Well,
let me interrupt.
Go ahead,
Bert. This is Bert. You know, as Mike said, we talk almost every day, and Mike is such a wealth of information all the way from Alpha Omega as far as college sports and athletics and what has happened and what's going on. But we just couldn't see with the multi-million dollar coaches as well as the staffs that we were dealing with and the payment of non-revenue sports coaches making what they're making and so forth and so on. Eventually there would not be enough beans in the pot. And we really believe that would happen. When the states can't pay their retirements and things like that, that's when things were going to get tough. Well, we did not envision the virus, as Mike said, but here we are.
Well, let me ask you guys this, because we're always trying to make the best out of whatever situation we're in. Could what's happened here now sort of become a reset of everything, where people kind of gather themselves and say, okay, we can't pay our coaches what we're paying. We can't spend the money on facilities that we're spending because we have to be ready for something like this going down the road, and we're going to be dealing with the coronavirus for a long time. I mean, can this be an opportunity? I guess is what I'm asking you guys. Mike, you can start.
Well, I have continually said that with the train wreck, there's going to be a reorganization of intercollegiate athletics. They can't help it, and the idea that these young athletic directors said to me, well, Mike, you got to recognize we've got a lifeboat, cable television. Well, about 6 months later, cable television was in trouble because you could get football games on your smartphone for free. And so if advertising is drying up, and certainly Horace Greeley didn't see that when he invented the newspaper, mm-hmm. if that is happening, this could happen to the lifeboat. And with the idea that we're not sure, we don't know, and like you said, every day is a new day, if what's going to happen, if this goes to the furthest point where, let's say, if it happened where they didn't even have college football this fall and all of that television money dried up, then the athletic departments are going to be in bankrupt mode. And therefore, there's going to be a reorganization. And as I've shared with Bert many times, I look at the future. I think that crystal ball is going to say, when they reorganize, you might be surprised. It may be on the Ivy League model.
Makes sense. Makes sense. Hey, Bert, we were talking too. What were you thinking about maybe reducing the rosters of football teams?
Yeah, well, Mike had the great idea, I thought, and everything is relative as far as I know and concerned as far as consumers. That would be one platoon football. Now, that's an idea. Now, that sounds like maybe that's way out, but then again, think about it. As far as pros and our pro football, that wouldn't be that bad for them, would it? Because they would have a idea. They could really find the athletes a little better than let's say the one platoon football or two platoon football, I believe. And in the context of the cost of the sport to college athletics, it'd be a total revamp. Mike has mentioned that and mentioned the total difference it would be, Mike, and you might explain that a little bit, but that might be a wild idea, but the situation has to change. There's no question about it. And the $3 million coach really would be called in, I think, by the athletic director saying, we can't pay you $3 million, pay you $500,000. Oh, by the way, there aren't that many jobs out there, and that's what we can pay, and that's it. And, of course, the response would be, well, we're going to get my lawyer, and we will get the money that we deserve. Well, there's no money, you know. Get in line.
Right.
The states are really dry. We know that. They've been ripped as far as the virus, as well as the federal government. The federal government right now, with the money they spent, the first quarter, the federal government is supposed to be like a plus one for the GNP. It was minus 37. We got that? Minus 37. So we're looking at beans in the pot and what can you do, and maybe we get back to the student athlete and sports supposed to maybe enhance their life and make them better people. That was the idea from the beginning, right? Well, it got kind of ass backwards, you know.
it did get well. Let me ask you this, because you know, I mean, let's call it what it is. You know, college athletics, primarily football and basketball are minor leagues for the NBA and the NFL. Always have been, and will continue to be. Can the leagues step in and maybe build a kind of relationship where they can work together a little more? I mean, like right now, you know, they're saying if the football gets moved to the spring, well, the NFL isn't going to change anything to make it easier or better for the colleges to deal with it. Can they come together a little more? Why can't they, or why haven't they been able to?
Well, I'll take a jump at this. Number one, they don't have to. Number two, 3% of college football players have no longer have eligibility to ever sign a pro contract, you know. And their life expectancy as far as working in the NFL is 3.5 years, okay? So go figure it out. I mean, they really don't have to. They got an unlimited supply, and they can scout, and they can do what they have to do to get the players they have to have.
The professionals are not going to bail out the college athletics. We can think about it. We can speculate, but they're not going to do that. They're going to take care of themselves, and the colleges have to be able to take care of themselves. And, you know, if if we went to one platoon football, like I coached and I played, instead of having 11 coaches, they could get by with five or six. That's instead of having a graduate assistants, two or three or four, have one, and have analysts. Just don't have analysts. You know, you could cut back immeasurably, and you, instead of traveling with 80 some people, you'd travel with 50. Instead of 85 scholarships, you could get by with 60 scholarships. So one platoon football would save college football, it would save college athletics, and it would be just as much fun to watch. People would say, oh, you don't want to do that because the kids won't have the opportunity in professional. Bert answered your question. There is an infinitesimal amount of people that go to the pros from college football.
I would assume, too, it solves a problem with Title IX. You don't have to get as many scholarships. I only have about a minute left, so is that true?
Yes. Absolutely.
No, that's a great point, and that's a big point. And Title IX is a crusher because guess what? We don't have the money to pay for Title IX. That is going to be one of the train wreck issues is Title IX.
Wow.
You know, Bert, being a lawyer, he said to me, you know, if a coach says to the athletic director, well, you're paying me $5 million a year, and you say you got to cut me back to $500,000, I'm going to sue you. Bert says, as a lawyer, I wasn't going to sue somebody if they didn't have any money and they were bankrupt.
Right. Hey, let's take a quick break. Come back with you two on the other side. Thank you.
Being named the 2020 El Tour de Tucson dedication recipient was such an honor. I have been a part of El Tour in the past, and I know about some of these amazing names that have been dedication recipients in the past, but it was an honor to be chosen for that, not only for me, but for my organization that supports people with disabilities.
I've met so many people through the riding and through El Tour that are now some of my closest and dearest friends.
One of the things that makes El Tour, you know, so safe and so well ran is all the law enforcement that gets involved blocking up the roads. My favorite part of the course on the newer course was the backside of Pistol Hill.
I think what's amazing about El Tour is there's something for everyone's ability level. It includes the opportunity to be out there. You can even do a 1 miler. You can do something at home if you're limited to being indoors. That's what's great about it is all abilities are encouraged. It's very inclusive.
Time to update those old kitchen cabinets? Call the Window Depot today. The Window Depot is not only the number one warehouse for windows and doors, we now have a great selection of kitchen and bath cabinets at Tucson's best prices. The Window Depot is Tucson's top spot for granite and quartz countertops to finish the new kitchen or the replacement of that old worn out Formica. So call us today at 290-8545 or 622-6430. The Window Depot, windows, doors, granite, and new kitchens.
Hey, welcome back to Why on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez. And on the phone, we have two esteemed guys, Bert Kinnerk and Mike Lude. So let me ask you the $64 million question. Are we going to have college football this year?
Well, let me take a shot at that. I've talked to a lot of athletic directors, and up until about 2 weeks ago, it looked like, yes, we were going to do that. Friends of mine in the Southeast Conference say they're definitely going to do that. Right now, it's less than 50-50 as we look at it. So I don't know. But while I'm on, let me say this. For all of us to keep our eye on the ball, I guess that's a pretty good slogan for you guys. If keep our eye on the ball, I want to give a shout-out to the University of Arizona.
They are and have been doing a great job. Cedric Dempsey, Jimmy Livengood, Greg Byrne, and now Dave Hickey. Dave and I talk every couple of weeks or every month, have breakfast and so on. But with that, with Dave Hickey, who is solid, reasonable, and then with President Robb and the Surgeon General, ex-Surgeon General, that is a team that's going to make the good decisions about the coronavirus and about getting us back to playing football. So I feel very confident that if there's a chance, University of Arizona is going to play.
What are your thoughts, Bert?
Yeah, same way. I mean, basically, you think about Rich Carmona, who set up the trauma centers for Tucson and was a hero of the year in 1992, you know, really a unbelievable person. And then you couple him with Bobby, and we had a hell of a team. You know, you realize they started with the research at the University of Arizona to develop the program. This is back when this cloud was coming, and they hit it, and to the extent that the state of Arizona contracted with the University of Arizona for 200, make that 2,500 of their first responders to have the programs that was developed by Bobby and Rich provided to the state of Arizona. I mean, there isn't any university in better shape than we are. But having answered the question, in order to have a team, you got to have a league, right?
Right. I was going to go there.
You have to have other teams, let's say, have the same level of confidence that the University of Arizona does. And number two, to me, the key thing is this. It's a student sport, number one. Number two, it has to be ultimate safe. Number three, if it blows up and we do get positives, and all of a sudden the positives get to very negative situations, which it could be, then you really got some real, real heavy-duty problems that could last, a long, long time. So I just think it has to be handled appropriately, which is the guiding light for Bobby and Rich. And they really have done it right. And just as Mike said, if anybody can do it, we can do it. But what does that mean?
Bert, are you, I know you represent players and former players and stuff like that. Are you in contact with, you know, with folks out there, and what are they saying about what's going on, you know, outside of Tucson? You know, whether it's, you know, somebody like Teddy Bruschi, who's in broadcasting, or, you know, whoever. I mean, what are you guys hearing is, you know, going on out there?
I think what I'm hearing is very, concerning is a proper word to use. It's more than concerning for the money that's involved. I mean, think about it. The money that's involved in pro football alone is staggering. I mean, unbelievable. And then that all leads to me to testing. And from the beginning, you had to have instantaneous now result testing. And that's the key factor that they're working toward, I think, as far as the pro football as well as college football. And still, we don't have the testing that other countries have and the resulting process we have to have. So to answer your question, I've talked to others. I would say the word would be pessimistic. Because, again, it deals – and also you have to think about this. You have the National Football Foundation Players Association – excuse me, I said foundation, but the Players Association that comes into play on behalf of the players, and you then have a third party in here that is negotiating on behalf of the players and their safety. And so there's a lot of various parts moving in this situation that will lead to the fact, can they really get this off the ground?
It's funny, Mike, you've been in the business forever, a number of storied programs, you know, specifically Washington. You never went through something like this. What was the worst thing you went through? And this seems just out of everyone's control, outside of, you know, trying to prevent you from getting the disease. What can you do?
If I had that answer, I would back in consulting business right away. I really don't know, because the horizon each day changes.
Yes.
We're looking at something different each day as things go on, and the politicians are involved and so on. And if Governor Ducey said, okay, the state is going to be totally shut down, then we can't play. And when Bert says about the conference, you know, things aren't very exciting when you look at California and the way things are going in Oregon right now. You wonder what's going to happen there. And Washington, where I was, you wonder. Arizona and Colorado and Utah look like they're on the outside, and we haven't got this thing locked up yet.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah, and it's, you know, like you said, if you had the answers, if anybody had the answers, and there just aren't any right now, which is kind of the scary part about all of this. I mean, it's, you know, what are you going to do? Well, you had this outbreak of the Florida Marlins. What happens if that happens, you know, with the Colorado football team and who they're supposed to play next week? I mean, just the you know, the scenarios aren't very good. They're awful.
Let me, if I could, real quick.
Yeah, but let me just make a thought process comment, and that would be that there are certain sports that are more prone to, let's say, a contagion or a problem with the virus than others. We all know that, right?
Right, right.
And there's some sports that are pretty, you know, pretty safe from that context. And yet football provides all the money for the others, right?
Exactly.
And so then you have, there you go. So then, although you have other sports that could be played and so forth and so on, you have to have the money to do it and readjust probably the schedule of salaries that are being paid, so forth and so on. But you really... But the football is the king. That provides the money for everything else. And the money, the beans in the pot, determine what's going to happen.
Right, right. Let me ask you guys, Jay and I talked about this last week. Okay, so each school has to test. They have everybody. So little Johnny, quarterback from X school, is going up against Y school, and he maybe has a bad test, a positive test, but you need little Johnny. How trusting are you guys, or would you guys be, for getting that truthful response from the other team?
Well, I think with the situation with the COVID-19 and serious medical situation, I believe that even people that we say, they may cut the corners a little bit, I don't think they will.
Yeah, I agree with that, because you have families involved also, and then things go left field, and there's a real, let's say, horrible situation and result because of the virus, and they're looking for a redress, you know, there you go. And that's kind of our society, a little bit litigious, you know.
Very much so. You would know it better than me.
Well, but you'd like to think that, you know, everybody's going to be
on the up and up,
the up and up, thinking, you know, for the greater good, let's make sure we're honest with people. But, you know, I don't know.
Well, you know, it really started out, did it not, that we were enhancing the lives of a student because we had athletics. And then it really got bass backwards, I believe. The tail started wagging the dog. And here we go. We have coaches making $3 million and the president of the school's making maybe $800,000. I mean, really, it really needs a revamp. And this is a great... situation. As Luke said earlier, you know, we're looking at maybe the Ivy League program, the Ivy League system, because, you know, really we have to do something that fits the fact that we don't have any money.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. The Ivy League system probably makes the most sense.
It does, but the reality of that is not very, very
right,
high. But.
Right. Hey, you guys, thanks you very much. Can I say this real quick? What a pleasure it is to have both you guys on, and Mike Lude, too. I hope I'm not offending you, Mike. You're 98 years old, and you sound fantastic.
Well, I hope so.
No, real quickly, I call them Alpha Omega. Nobody I know that really has such a wide spectrum of knowledge and really background and really is as sharp as a tack. And we talk three or four times a week easily. You know, he's the best.
Well, we appreciate everything that you guys have done and that you continue to do. And thanks again for being on the show. We loved having you.
Well, Steve and Jay, today I was at my orthopedics and I told him, you got to keep me around for another 50 or 60 years.
Yeah.
And he's, well, I don't plan to be here. I'll have you a great replacement.
Great.
Yeah, just don't come after our job here.
Exactly.
At Eye on the Ball. Thanks, guys.
Thanks a bunch, guys.
Welcome. Right on.
Great show.
Thank you very much. Let's take a quick break here on 10:30 The Voice.
These days, most families are concerned with having the right insurance coverage. Protecting your family, home, auto, and other valuable possessions can be challenging and sometimes expensive. Crest Insurance gives you flexible options and solutions while saving you money. Insurance is not one size fits all, and at Crest, we find the coverage that's best for you and your family. Visit us online at www.crestins.com or call us toll-free at 888-881-5765.
There's a place in our house.
For 70 years, Benjamin Supply has been keeping Tucson flowing. Hygiene is our business. We help you achieve extreme clean. Minimize germ spreading with a hands-free sensor faucet. Forget the paper panic with a washlet seat. And speaking of waterworks, a big thanks to plumbers for their essential efforts during this health crisis. Shop our downtown showroom by appointment. Call us at 777-7000 or see all the products online at BenjaminSupply.com.
Thanks to Benjamin Plumbing Supply.
It's those guys from Tucson Appliance Company, the best appliance company in Tucson.
For the month of July, we're going to donate 2% of our sales to a local charity from in-stock purchases.
Come shop at our store and work with our amazing sales team.
Dustin, David, Brian, Alex, me, and Peter.
You can choose from a list of local charities for us to donate to.
The only way we can give back is if you shop local.
Only at Tucson Appliance, where our low price is your priority.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside co-host Jay Gonzalez. Jay, so you know what? We had two great guys, Bert and Lude, Bert and Mike Lude. To me, they're very young. Obviously, they're older, but they're very young in spirit.
Right.
You and I are going to be the two old Muppet guys on the balcony. These guys are the young guys.
They are, you know, but they're so energetic. They're doing so much in this town and have done so much as it relates to sports in this town. And they continue, and that's a great thing about guys like that. You know, you treasure those guys. You stay out of their lane.
Yes,
you know,
yes, yes.
You let them do what they do because they're all, you know, their hearts has always been in the right place. They're trying to do things for the right reasons, and they just have a wealth of knowledge.
Wealth of knowledge, and if they can't solve it, they know people who can,
or they figure out, you know, how.
Yeah,
you know, and so it's great to have guys like that in this community, and there's a lot of them. You know,
Sure.
You know, Mike and Bert have been around for a long time, but there's a lot of guys that they deal with. You know, these two guys, for instance, with the National Football Foundation, the Southern Arizona chapter here,
mm-hmm.
You know, they give scholarships to kids, and they've gotten, you know, Arizona players and coaches into the College Football Hall of Fame. And what do they get for that? All they get for that is the satisfaction of doing mm-hmm. that. Nobody's mm-hmm. paying them to do any of that, you know, and they take their time. You know, Bert's a practicing attorney. He's a busy guy. He's not retired. You know,
he's on my speed dial. Let
yeah,
me tell
he's
you
got
that.
He's got a lot going on. You know, he still represents, athletes and retired athletes and has a lot of work to do. And yet, you know, he takes the time to do this kind of stuff for the greater good of our community. And you just have to appreciate those guys.
Right, right. When Bert was talking to me about the maybe reducing the scholarships and making the teams 50, 60 rosters, I think it was more about Title IX because then you don't have to get more scholarships
right.
out there. But I think the great point that you brought up and the question you brought up was the resetting of financials.
Right. And we're not going to go back to the Harvard model where guys are, you know, the Ivy League model where people, you know, players don't get scholarships and stuff like that. But what you can do is look at some ways to back off of the train wreck that, mm-hmm. that Mike Lute said we're headed for. And I've thought for a long time that the coaching salaries and stuff like that
was a
explosion waiting to happen.
Sure, and then the kids want to get paid.
Right. And now kids want to get
where's paid. That going to come
where's
from?
Where's the money going to come
it's
from?
It's like trying
that?
To say, oh, I want a Christmas present. Well, yeah. Well, son, guess what? It ain't going to happen this year. We don't have the money for it.
Right.
And there's no answer. Now on the phone, we have Pima women's basketball coach Todd Holdhouse. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing well. How you doing, Steve?
Great to have you on the show. I know a lot of things going on at Pima. How did you feel when the news came out last week that everything's moving to the spring?
Well, I'm just more than anything. I just want to have the opportunity to, you know, for the kids more than anything, because you only get this chance, you know, a small, very small window in your life, and you know, hope is better than no hope. And so even by moving it to the spring, I feel like, you know, it keeps our kids engaged, wanting to go to class, knowing they're still working towards something, buys us some time to, you know, get some health and safety protocols in place. And just to have a little bit of hope is great for not only the kids and the players, but the coaches as well.
Todd, this is Jay Gonzalez. So, I mean, when you don't have something at stake, like, you know, like the NCAA has with football, where everything relies on them playing football, I mean, wasn't this the rational decision to make for, you know, sports like at the junior college level, you know, even at the high school level, just say, look, guys, let's just do the safest thing. And if we can manage it logistically, just push everything off to the spring. I mean, wasn't that the right thing to do?
Absolutely. I mean, I've been impressed with a few things along the way, because I'm lucky enough, because I'm the women's basketball coach, but I'm the assistant AD, so I get to kind of be on that line between administration and coaching, and it's been, you know, fun in the sense that I get to kind of see how things work, and I've just been impressed with the way the NJCAA handled it, as well as Pima's administration, not making any rash decisions, kind of seeing how things go, you know, set, you know, little earmarks for time, and then make an evaluation, make a decision at that point to see what's best, you know, for everybody. And I think, you know, like you were saying, we don't necessarily rely on the big money game of football, because that's not how we're built. And so just by pushing stuff to the spring, it only made sense, and it makes sense for everybody. And, you know, it'll make things crazy in terms of facilities and fields and, you know, the court and different teams all having to be there at the same time. But you know what? That's kind of what makes athletics special, in my opinion, in terms of, you know, people being able to work together towards a goal and make it the best environment possible for the kids.
The last time you were on the show, mid-March, you guys were getting your team ready to go to the national tournament, and then you came up with some disappointment that was canceled. I guess you would have never imagined you'd still be in the situation that you're in now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we were hoping at one point in time that they had postponed it, that we may still have a chance, but that, you know, we never got that chance. So, you know, that's the thing, is I've been part of a group that kind of had something taken away from them. So, you know, having this decision that, you know, while it may not be the traditional, you know, October through March kind of season, to have a season, whether it's, you know, January through April or whatever, is better than the alternative. Because honestly, Steve, the last time I saw my kids as a group was that Thursday before we were supposed to leave to go to Nationals. And for most of them, I've seen a couple of them since then, but honestly, I haven't seen the rest of them, which is just a weird feeling as a coach, because you just never, you know, one of the part of this ritual is you get a little bit of closure every year. And I just feel like I didn't get that closure with this group, because all of a sudden we're gone, and here we are still, you know, 4 or 5 months later, kind of in the same place, you know, hopeful for a new season, but at the same time, didn't really get to tie a bow on last year's great season.
Todd, what's your sense of how the athletes have been handling all this? I know you don't see them. I'm assuming you talk to them and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
What's your sense of where their heads are at with all this right now?
Well, I think, you know, we have meetings every week, and I try to meet with my team once, you know, every week or every 2 weeks, engage them. And I have, you know, kids and my own kids here at home. And I think that the biggest thing that, you know, sports and opportunities like that provide is just a sense of normalcy and routine, And I worry more about their mental health in terms of, you know, the physical part. We can get back in shape and we can get back in the gym. But I just worry, you know, because kids that rely on sports as a means to go to high school or go to junior college or even go to the NCAA level, that's part of who they are as a person. And I always worry the longer this thing drags on, I think that the mental effect it has on some of them can be pretty tough, you know. So that's why we, you know, I can only speak for myself, but I know there's lots of other coaches that do it too, is just try to keep them engaged, try to keep them hopeful in the sense that, you know, hopefully we'll be back in the gym soon. And it may not be the way we're used to it, but just getting back in the gym, and even if you have to, you know, space out and only three or four people at a time, it's so much better than what we're doing right now in terms of just sitting here and kind of just waiting. And then, you know, for them, there's just a lot of uncertainty in terms of how does this impact my future. So just trying to keep them mentally, you know, focused and healthy. And I think that that's a big part of this whole thing.
Along those lines, Jay and I bring up this point all the time. You're coaching 18, 19, maybe 20-year-old kids. How do you make sure they don't mess up and do what they're not supposed to do regarding this illness or this disease?
Well, you know, I can only say that I was 18, 19, 20. And I, I can only say that I don't know how I would have handled it at that age. But, you know, in the position that we're all in is – you can guide them, and hopefully you tell, you know, if basketball is really important to you, I think we all have to do our part so that we can get back out on the court. But at the end of the day, you know, they're going to make their own choices. And I think as any parent, you just try to do your best in terms of educating them and making sure you've given them the facts and the things that will help. And ultimately, they're going to have to be faced with, you know, those tough decisions. And, you know, hopefully it means enough to them that they'll make the right decisions.
Coach, thanks for the quick call. We really appreciate you being on.
Yeah, thanks again. I hope we get to talk again after we're like 25-1.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Hopefully we get to talk when you're actually playing games and things are happening. So, Todd, it was great to talk to you.
All right. Thank you guys so much. Keep it up.
All right, thanks a bunch. Appreciate it. What a good show today.
You know, it was packed. And, guys, that you know, the issues go on. I mean, it's every day we come in hoping we're going to talk about something else, and we just can't seem to. But, you know, this is all important, and there's some big issues. And, you know, Mike Lute and Bert Kinnerk, you know, talked about some big issues and how we can sort of reset, you know, college athletics. And then you got, you know, coach like Todd Holthouse, who's been incredibly successful in, you know, what he's dealing with. So, you know, these are the issues of the day. And this is what we're dealing with right now. And we got to come to grips with that.
We'll still say this. We got 4 days to get some schedules out. We'll probably hear some things start to trickle out as they become more, you know, how the business is. People start sneaking their schedules out.
Right. We got Brian Jeffries coming on tomorrow, the voice of the Wildcats for about 100 years, right?
Seems like we've been around, right?
You know, I'm sure Brian's got his own perspective on what he's seeing going on around college athletics, and I'm sure he's hopeful like we are that there's going to be some football.
It's funny because it all trickles down to all of us,
right?
If there's no sports,
right? Exactly. So we'll have Brian on tomorrow.
Good show, Jay.
All right. See you guys tomorrow.